Good evening. Thank everybody for coming. I thank you for coming on time. I've been fascinated by the Arba Minim since I'm a little kid. And for the last 40 years, I've been gathering tidbits of information about the Arba Minim. And I'd like to share some of that information with you tonight. Well, what I have tonight on the slides, I chose from the last blot or two blot, I chose points that I think could use explanation. Things that people might not be familiar with. Something that if you saw it happening out on the tree, you'd appreciate it better. You'd understand what's happening. You'd understand it better. You'd understand the Gemara. You'd understand the Halach. You'd understand when you go out shopping, what you're looking at and what you're looking for. Some of the things I'm going to show you tonight are chidushim, meaning that many people probably never saw it in that perspective. But now that I'm showing it to you, I think it's 100% true. What we're going to do is we're going to go out to a paradise. This is a paradise. This is out in Beis Shemesh in Israel. And we're going to look at some things that happen on a paradise and how that affects the Israelim, how they grow, and various halachas. I organized this show according to the topic that I think will take longer. The more pictures I had about it, or the more points I want to make, the earlier it comes. Not necessarily because it's more important, not necessarily because it's harder to understand, not necessarily because it's most important to understand the Gemara, but because it'll just take me longer to talk about it. And one last thing before I begin is that in the front of the room we have the Svarim that I've written, and it's the sales of these Svarim that make these presentations possible. Okay, so let's go visit our paradise. The first topic we want to talk about is the Pitam. Every Esrig in the world had a Pitam at one point in its career. It's impossible to have an Esrig if there's no Pitam. In fact, every citrus fruit in the world had a Pitam, because it's the Pitam that the bee comes. The bee is attracted to the Pitam, and the bee, whatever the bee does, it does on the Pitam. On a healthy Esrig and on a healthy citrus fruit, the Pitam falls off at a very early stage. What we have over here, right? These are the Esrig blossoms. Let's get a closer look at one. So here you have a close up of just one blossom. This green part here, that's the tip of the Pitam, right? Then you see there's a pink area. That's the balance of the Pitam. And inside later, there's another green area. That's the Esrig. Every citrus fruit, every Esrig has to have this. If you don't have the Pitam, it's just called a stylus, the bee can't come, the bee can't work, the bee can't fertilize it, pollinate it, you can't have an Esrig. What happens to the Pitam of 90% of the Esrigim, or naturally probably even higher percentage than that? So, sometimes the Pitam stays, the Esrig, you know, as the Esrig develops, the Pitam stays on. But much more often, the Pitam falls off at the very early stages. Sorry for the quality of the pictures. These were taken by somebody doing me a favor out in Mexico. And he did me a favor to take pictures of them for me. But it's not some of them, whatever. Okay, so most of the time, the Pitam falls off naturally at a very early stage. Look at this line over here. This brown line. We have it on both sides. We're going to get to it later. Just want you to notice that it's there now. The Pitam falls off. It dries up. It falls off. This happens in every single Esrig. No, I shouldn't say every single. That happens in 95% of Esrigim, naturally. Notice that ring over there. We're going to talk about it again later. What happens is that the esrig, it's a natural event, a natural process there's no need for the pitum, so naturally it atrophies it, it drops it. Okay? On some esrogim, because the tree is shvach, it's not functioning properly, the pitum stays on. That's the scientific explanation of the pitum. I don't know what year it happened. But sometime after Vietnam they used to use chemical Agent Orange, right? One thing the Agent Orange did was it killed all the foliage of the trees, right? And that's how they were able to find the snipers. Another thing Agent Orange did was, they noticed, was that it kept the citrus fruits growing in the area, retained their pitums. So the oranges and the lemons that were growing over there kept their pitums on. Playing around with it a little bit, they figured out how much they need to spray your esrogim with a tiny little esrogim, smaller than these. They spray the esrog. It's like it's one part of this. I've covered the real name of the chemical. It's like one part per million in the spray of Agent Orange, and that keeps the pitum on. So most esrogim, the pitum is artificially preserved. Some of them would stay on naturally, but most of the time it's artificially preserved. Okay. Now, what happens when the pitum falls off? So we get something like this. You get something like this, right? The pitum fell off. Again, you're noticing this top, this funny top. When the pitum falls off at these early stages, like we showed you, that's a natural course of events. That's a kosher esrog. But sometimes the esrog developed. We saw some of the other esrog, they're already larger, and they still had their pitums. Sometimes the pitum fall off, even if the esrog is large, it started to grow before it finished developing while it's on the tree. We'll get to that soon, also. But right now, let's talk about the esrog where the pitum came off early. How do you know if the pitum came off the esrog early, or if the pitum got knocked off sometime after the esrog grew, developed, was harvested? Maybe during the shipping. How could you tell the difference? So if a person by a short time in an esrog store, it shouldn't be hard. But it'd be even easier if you one time you had the privilege of knocking off a pitum. You know what an esrog would add a pitum. The pitum came off. You know what it looked like. Then you know. Then you'd be very easy to differentiate between one that had a pitum, one that didn't, never had a pitum. Let's look at an esrog here that grew without, what's called grew without the pitum. You see the top? It's a rough top. It's a natural top. It's the same top I was showing you in those small, the previous pictures. The way the esrog works when it atrophies, when it gets this crusty tip, that's what happens out there when the pitum falls off. If you see that, you know that the pitum came off at a very early stage. There's another way to know, though, is that there's this line over here. This is a white line. Forget about that. On top of it, there's a light brown line. It's the ring. It's the ring of the decision cells where the esrog, where the cells dried out and the pitum fell off. Every esrog that doesn't have a pitum should have that line. Now, you don't always have a full line because sometimes the esrog in handling, it gets chipped away, it gets banged up. But every esrog that doesn't have pitum should have a ring, an abscission ring, right around over here. Okay, we'll have a few more pictures of that. But there's another thing that Mishmaru talks about, it quotes from the, I think, a bit, that talks about, firstly, here you have the line again, right? You see the line? The abscission line? Okay, but there's another thing that Mavit talks about, is the hole. Mishru quotes it, there's a hole. Very, very often, not every single esrog, as I showed you, the early one didn't have it. Very, very often, most esrogim, if the pitum fell off at a very early stage, so the esrog continues, grows, it's bigger around the area of the pitum. And you're going to be left that the esrog grew up bigger, and you're left with a hole. Indentation. There's a small indentation right in the tip of the esrog. It looks almost like the peak of a volcano. up, 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 and then no top, no point. Goes in a little bit. So, two ways to know that an Esrog didn't have, never, we call never had a pitum, meaning it grew most of its life without a pitum, is if it has the abscission cell ring over here, or it has a hole there. Either one tells you that this Esrog did not have a pitum. Either one. How often is the problem that an Esrog should grow with the pitum and get the pitum knocked off? It never happens. And I'll explain to you why. Let's look at this next picture first. We have here an Esrog that the pitum came off, but at a later stage. So we don't have the incision cells, but we don't have this, but we do have the rough top. This pitum probably was knocked off when the tree was still growing at an early stage. Probably knocked off at an early stage. This is machlokes in the contemporary poskim, if that's considered kosher. Some Zalman talks about it, others talk about it. I mentioned a little bit in the book. Whether such an Esrog should be kosher or not. It's not a clear-cut thing. It doesn't have the hole, and it doesn't have abscission cells around it. It doesn't have the ring, but it does have a rough top. That's how you know that this happened, that the Esrog, that pitum got knocked off at a later stage. This Esrog would have kept its pitum. It got knocked off by something, and it continued to grow, grew up a little bit around it. So let's look at the next picture. It's very delayed, the response. Maybe because of the distance. Anyway, look at this. What?
Not as fast as you.
Look at the top of this Esrog. Does this look anything like the previous Esrogim? It's totally different. This is an Esrog that the pitman got knocked off late in shipping, in the store, or something. You see it's all bruised around the top. You see that it didn't grow over here. Nothing grew afterwards. You can see into the Esrog, so to speak. You can see that the parts of Esrog. You see the pieces missing. It's all bruised up. There's no growth around there. This obviously happened afterwards. Now, looks so bad, it would only look like this a while after it happened. A few hours, a day or two, it looks so bad. But the coloring, the brown coloring. Because the brown coloring is like the bruise of an apple or like a black and blue mark. You get banged, so it takes a little while, and then your skin turns black and blue. If you drop an apple, it takes a while. It starts to oxidize, and then it turns brown. So the brown coloring is the bruise. But this type of top, that it's, you don't see the crusty cauliflower type of top, that you'll see right away. And you can hear you seeing into the Esrog. You can see it. You're seeing inside the Esrog. So if the pitum came off, anybody should be able to tell the difference. You don't need a big grace expert. It's not a big deal to see this. Let's look at the next. What do you see on this one? Somebody help me with that. What do you say? This is kosher or not? You see over here the abscission cells, yeah? You can see that it's a side view, but you can see the crusty, the top. Right, what's that about this one? What do you say? It's very kosher again, because again, the same reason. It had that crusty, rough top, and you can see the ring over here. Okay, so far we discussed one side of the pitum. But if you remember the Rashi, and if you learn Tosis, there's more than one way of looking at a pitum. Where else might the pitum be? If the pitum is not the top of the Esrog, where else could the pitum be? Well, it won't be the same piece, but it'll be the same place, right? So here we have the bottom of an Esrog. Okay, Rashi second shot, Tosis talks about this. One shot, okay, that's this part here for sure. All this that you see here for sure is the Ukkot, okay? But how about, according to the second parish, we're going to get closer into it. Inside here, is going to be the part that's between here and the S, and it's embedded into the Esrog. That's where the pitum is going to be. Here, let's look at this one. So we have that dotted line to cut, to tell you whatever's outside, that's Ukkot. Whatever's inside, so it's going to be this area here where you can see that this is Esrog, this is stem, this area here you can see is stem. You see that this eerie here is stem. It's not the same as this. This eerie here, according to Rashi's second shot, this eerie here, that's where the pitum would be. Right? Right over there. One more look from another angle.
Why wouldn't that be a school of chaser?
It would be. Rashi says it would be possible it's chaser. I think the pshat is like this. Chaser is the case in the Mishnah. Nikev v'chaser, right? Some Mishnahim learn means nikev kama chaser. Chaser itself as a psul. Some Mishnahim learn nikev v'chaser. I'm going to focus on the nikev v'chaser pshat just for a moment because it's easier to understand what I want to say. Why nikev v'chaser? There are a few things. Really, the psul is chaser. The psul is the psul called chaser. That's really the psul. There are a few things that you might have thought are not really part of the esrig. They're trivial. They're not essential to the esrig. Maybe because the esrig, not every esrig has it. Maybe because it's not really part of the esrig. It's really, as you see here, this is the esrig. This is the fruit of the esrig. This is a tree. This part you could eat. All this you can eat. This part you can't eat. Not this part, even though they candy it, and this, if you end up with one of these little pieces and you get one of your piece, you can't eat it. It's tree. So the havin is that there are things that are not part of the esrig, the skin, or the pitim, or the ukut, they're not part of the esrig. You have a havin to say that even if those pieces are missing, it shouldn't be called a chaser. That's the chiddush. Whichever way you're looking at it, whichever side the pitum is, or all the cases that are that you may like or niklaf, these things that are, if it's chaser, so why? Because these are all not essential parts of the esrig. Okay, let's go weiter. So we saw this one already. This is the here you see it inside, right? You see that this is the ukitz came off with whatever's inside, so that became the thing. Okay, let's go a little bit faster. And a good esrig, the ukut is embedded like that, right? That's one of the signs of an esrig, that the ukut is embedded, the sunken ukut, right? The recessed ukut is a sign of a kosher esrig. Okay, we're not going to go into the signs right now. Because you learned the Gemara didn't give you any of those signs. We're not going to go into whether those signs are meaningful or not. But anyway, let's look at this. Let's look at the next one. What we have over here is an ukut that's separating. So you have two things. First of all, this part is going to be the ukut, but the part that's in here, you can see in here, this section, that would be the pitum. This ukut is the type of ukut that you have to worry, it can get banged, a real severe bang, it can knock out what's inside, making it a chaser or the pitum or whatever it is. What happened over here is that these Israelim started to shrink. As it shrinks, like if you leave fruit in the refrigerator for too long, they start to shrink. The water, the moisture evaporates, and the fruit starts to shrink, and that's what's happening over here. And as it shrinks, the ukus comes out and becomes vulnerable. Okay, so we covered pitum from both sides, the top pitum, the bottom pitum. Let's move on. Okay, very confusing is the layers of the esrig. We had the Gemara about Niklaf, Ahinya Sumcha, right? The red date. What are the layers of the esrig? What are the layers of the esrig? So let's look. This is the Lashon L'Mechaber. Niklaf Aklipa Achitzayin Shalai Shein Mechasrei Elinisha Yorik. What is that word that's supposed to mean? You took off the outer layer, the klipa hachitzoyin eshaloi, but it's still yorek. By the way, what color is yorek? I think we asked this question last time. I probably did. What color is yorek? If I'm asking the question, you know that it's not green. Yellow. Taisus back on the Aflamanon Beis, I think it was, on the Aleph, gave four choices. What were the four choices? For yarek, green, blue, and gold, yellowish gold. Yellow gold. Those are, but Rashi and Chulin as Rashi in the Rashi in the fifth parak of Sukkah adds gray, as Yorick means gray. Rashi, the Gemara there used the word Yorick. Rashi says it's gray, but Rashi spells it out in the word beige yud yud shin, which the French, the guy who translates the French, says it means gray in modern language. But Rashi over there is talking about the building, the structure of the Beis Hamikdash, at the walls of the Beis Hamikdash were Yorick. All historical evidence today points that the walls of the Beis Hamikdash were beige. So, but Gemara calls it Yorick, and Rashi and Chulin adds a few more colors to Yorick. It's a complex color. Anyway, Yorick is a broad color. It means a lot of Criollo wouldn't be able to get away with calling all their crayons Yorick. All right. Anyway, so let's look at an esrig, and let's see how it's possible that you can have an esrig that you took away the klipa chitzayna, and it's still, you didn't take anything away. It's still yorik moishe hu b'riyasei. So, this is the Sharetin. We'll get to that. The Sharetin breaks down the layers. Let's go the other direction. Let's skip this for a second. Here, let's look at the esrig. Here we have a cutaway of an esrig. Okay, how thick is the outer yellow layer? Do you see how thick it is? There's a very, very bright yellow. You can see it right over there, the outermost layer. You can see the darker line around the perimeter. You can see, the strong yellow. And then it has yellow until it fades. There's no clear line that it's over. On a potato peel, we use potato peelers. Potato peelers, you take off, mostly you take off as a potato, not peel. But if you take a potato or an apple or a carrot, the peel is paper thin. It's thinner than paper on the potato peel. It doesn't gradually get mixed with the fruit. There's a very, very, very thin layer of peel. And after that, right. So mostly we take the potato peel, most of the apple peels, carrots, these are all, mostly you're throwing away is good potato. Here, the peel is very thick. The rind is very, right? The yellow part is very thick. The darker yellow, and then it gets lighter. Let's read the Sharet Tzion. Ki kama klipas b'esrig. There's many layers. Achas klipa yiroik dak moid. There's one outer layer, which is very thin. That's the really bright outer layer, yellow, green, whatever color it might be. And this is the second layer. There's a klipa avak tzas. There's some thickness to it compared to the outer layer, which is dakam oy. This one is avak tzas. It tastes sharp when you eat it. But he doesn't mention, he doesn't speak it out though here. The Mechaber says that layer is still yellow or green. Next comes the layer of Achach Masl Basar Esrig Shehu Lovan. There's the white layer, that's called the Basar of the Esrig. There's a circle, Boim Nochem Gerinim, that's the Chedei Zera, the seed sack. Okay, so Shulchan Aruch is made by klipa yoyna kashi dak kaglid, the very outer layer, that's the yellow layer, which is paper thin, that's what you took off. And that does not mechasim gufa esrig. But if you took off the yellow layer, the entire inner yellow layer, into the white, then you're in trouble. So in this picture here, so yeah, they have the klipa, the yoyka, it's dak moid. We have another layer, which is the yellow area over here, which is thick. It has some thickness to it. And then there's the white part and the Chadei Zera. This is the Chaznish Esrig. The Chaznish Esrig doesn't have any of the signs of the Kosher Esrig that their Mal lists in the Tshuva. So that's why it has so much liquid. But most of Israel don't have such a big Chadei Zera and don't have so much juice inside. But when you eat an Esrig, the main part that you're eating, the Esrig is the white. Have you ever eaten a ripe Esrig? They don't sell them. The Israelim that they give you Sukkot time, they pick at a stage that they're very, very far from getting ripe. Because like the tomatoes, the picky tomatoes out in California, when they're green, hard, they can handle the trip. And they, when they get to New York, they gas them, they put those chemicals on them, that makes them turn ripen, that ripens them really quick. They ship them to the stores real quick, right? And that's why they taste like cardboard. Yeah, you go to the farm stand, you grow your own tomatoes, and they have a different taste. Right? So if you buy your Esrog Sukkos thyme, it was picked before it could possibly ripen. If they should be able to handle the trip. When it gets here to New York, they gas them to make them turn yellow. And then they
gas them?
Yes, they do. I can have pictures of it. I've never actually been there, but I have pictures of it happening. They gas them. Yes, the same thing they do with the oranges and everything else. When they get to New York, they get gassed, and then they get sent to the market as they're yellowing. So that's why esrogim taste like that they taste like. But if you have a zoicha to get a ripe esrog, they're actually edible. Not just the DMA esrogim, all esrogim. All esrogim. They claim that the Italian, the yad of esrog, is not good, is not geschmack to eat, even at a later stage. But I never had experience with yad of esrogim. But the chaznish esrogim and the badatz esrogim, if they're ripe, they're great.
Which is the edible part, the white or the
white? On most esrogim, there is no juice. And even if it's too hard and dry, there's nothing really in there. You eat the white. It tastes like an apple. It tastes like an apple. Okay, that's not what we came to talk about. Let's do the next picture. So here we have another esrog. So let's do the stages. Here you see the green outer layer, right? The dark green. Here you have the stage where it's fuzzy, right? And if the dark green comes off, you're good. If this part gets into this part a little bit, you're still good. If the green part is missing, you're in trouble, right? Here's the white, the chadri is there. You see the Moroccan esrog here has much less inside. Much less juice, much smaller juice area, and much less juice. Let's look at the next picture. What do we have over here? So here we have the outer, the area where it's like combined, confused, and here we have a hole. This is every aspect that I have over here is a picture I took in a store. I took all my pictures in the stores. Moitzim Kippur. Every Sukkos, we went around to all the esrog stores, pushed everybody out of the way, and we took our pictures. There's no esrog. We'll see one later. There's one esrog. Besides the esrog I have growing on the trees with the pitums. There's only one esrog here I have later that I took out in Apardis. All these esrogim we took in the stores. So here we have esrog in the store that had a nice little piece missing. It's in the yellow. It's in the second yellow and goes into the white. This is possible choladeis. If it's mashahu, if you know the Samishainim, the Mechad brings a Shashita, Samishainim hold that chaser, it needs a shiv and iser. If it needs a shiv and iser, an iser is a coin. I don't know how big an iser coin is, but it's probably the size of a dime, maybe a penny. It's not smaller than that. So this is for sure, according to that sheet, this would be kosher, but we'll machma for the first sheetah. This is missing a mashahu, it goes into the white. Even though I didn't quote it, but this Sharatin goes on to the Arachrem that learn, even if you have missing from the white, this is missing from the white, this is possible holidays. Here you see it. Here's what it looks like from the outside. We cut it away over here to show you the layers up close, and then we cut it again a second time over here. You can see this from the outside. Obviously, saw it from the outside, otherwise, how did I know about it? Imagine that the esrog continued over here. This is what it looked like. Here, I have another one that's confusing. Look over here down the blue circle. What do you say to these two spots? So when I took the picture, I thought, hey, there's a sure chaser. It looks this white inside, you can see everything, it's a sure chaser. But then the camera, the zoom lens, told me that a different story. That it's not white inside, it's yellow. That white is probably dirt. So, here, you know, it happened to me a few times when taking these pictures that the zoom lens worked against me. You wanted to get hemniks and stuff, and we want to show it's not a hemnik or something, or like this. We had the chasers and these things, and they disappeared when we took the pictures.
What's kovea, though?
What?
What's kovea? Your naked eye or this one?
Okay. I'm opinionated on that one. But you asked the question, so now you have to hear my answer. David Feinstein told me on a lot of occasions that a magnifying glass is a trefa word. A Rav should never own a magnifying glass. You can't be makel because of your magnifying glass, and you certainly can't be machmer because of it. Reb Tuvi wasn't so strong about it, Reb Tuvi Goldstein Zechen Lebracha, but he also was of the same opinion. If you can't see it with your naked eye, it doesn't count. This is the Parshat shot in the Mishnah Berurah, where he talks about the black dots. You have to see it the way it is. The Magen Avraham discusses it by Kriyas HaTorah, and there, most places in Halacha, we just use our naked eye. For some reason, the Esrig became popular, you have to use a magnifying glass. If you have a trained eye, there's very little magnifying glass can help you. If you know what you're looking for, there's very little magnifying glass can help you. Something like this. Yeah, if I would see these white dots, yeah, so choice number one, I'd bring it to the Moichar. If I like the Esther, the Esther, I bring it to the Moichar, the guy, and I tell him, every Moichar keeps in his kit Q-tips. I tell him, take out one of your Q-tips, wet it, clean it for me. If it's dirt, it's going to go away. It's going to get smaller, something like that. If I didn't want to bother the Moichar, so this is the trick that you don't repeat at home. That's why you would tzitzis. You take the corner of your tzitzis. If it's a wool, it's even easier to use. And you stick it in over there in the corner, and it comes clean, you know you're good. Trick number two. Everything looks different in the sunlight. Everything looks different in sunlight. When you're indoors in artificial lighting, it's not the same. Halachas kaveh, it's gemorim nida, halachas kaveh in the sunlight. Not direct sunlight, direct sunlight blinds. You can't see anything. But you go outdoors, between the sun and the shade, the Gemara says, and that's where you look at everything. And the difference in the color of your esrig, you won't believe it's the same esrig. You won't believe it's the same esrig. The things that you thought were good look terrible, and the things that you thought were terrible are beautiful. They disappeared. You won't believe it's the same esrig. Anytime, but for some reason in America, they only sell esrogim at night. And it's the main business of our daytime. In America, it's mostly at night. Probably because they're all working 9 to 5, so they only can come at night. But you have to look at esrog in the daytime. It's a different bria. It's a totally different thing. Something like this, anybody would be able to see it during the daytime. In the artificial lighting, it's going to look like this. It's going to look like it's a chaser. In daylight, you hold it at the right angle, it's going to disappear. Okay? What to this one? What do you say? Kasha, why? There's no white. It's all yellow inside. There's a scratch. Something's for sure missing. Definitely bruised. Definitely scratched. But, nothing's missing. Okay, let's move on to the paradise. Here's an esrog paradise. Esrogim are terribly sensitive to the sun. I'm continuing with the topic of chaser. Esrogim are terribly sensitive to the sun. Now, naturally, the trees have tons of leaves, but the farmers cut away many of the leaves because the leaves are sharp. Esrogim leaves have sharp edges. You can cut yourself from mishandling a leaf. The leaves are sharp. The leaves could bang an esrog and cut an esrog and ruin it. So they cut away the esrog. If you look back, if you notice in the early pictures, all those esrogim that you notice, I will have it again later, all the leaves and the thorns, the esrogim trees have thorns on them, all the leaves and all the thorns are cut away in the vicinity of every esrog. So they have to compensate, they have to put shades over them. But what happens when a shade rips and the sun gets through? So you end up with something like this. You see that over there? You know what that is? That's a burn. The same thing that happened when you were a little kid and you had a magnifying glass and you sat in the backyard when nobody's watching and you try to get the sun to burn the paper or the leaves, right? That's what happened over here. Something to focus the light on this. Maybe it was a drop of water, insecticide, pesticide, whatever it was. There was something liquid over there and it worked like a magnifying glass. The sun's rays hit that and it burnt the hole. Let's get another look at one of those holes. Here we have them in the circle, right? You have these two little holes. We left one the way we had it, and one we cleaned out halfway. You see the black, the carbon, and you see the esrog, the white of the esrog. Black dots, we're going to talk about this in a second. Black dots in esrogim don't exist. If David told me he never saw a black dot on an esrog, and that Moshe told him that he never saw a black dot on an esrog. And there's a very simple reason why, because anything that Moicher knows is not going to sell, he's not bringing to the market. Black dots do not exist on esrogim. The only time you have a black, to worry about a black dot is from this burn marks. Anybody who tells you he saw black dots in his esrig, I want that esrig. I'll pay the shipping if it's a black dot.
Definitely looks like there's a black dot.
Never. Never. You have burn marks. You have bletlach that are dark colored, but they will not be black in the sunlight. In the sun, they will not be black. I'm going to show you what a black dot looks like in a few seconds. They will not be black in the sunlight. And you have this.
And the burns are dark brown?
No, the burns are black.
Black.
Look at the top one there. It's black.
So
it's no black.
Black means the skin's not discolored.
What?
Saying there's no black means no discoloration.
Yeah, the skin is not discolored, right. Here, you have these. You have burns. Let's go. Let's.
So what do you mean there's no black
yet? I'm going to show you in a second. Here we have, right, the topic of menumah speckled. So the derived, the round means derived. The Shulchan Aruch brings passages like that. That menumah is only a problem if it's spotted one of the pasul colors like black, white, green. Okay, Yorik Kakasi. Let's look at this esrig. So I made this announcement, and I wrote it in my thing, and I, before I wrote the book, I wrote it on something else, and a guy who worked on a party, this manager of a party out there in Mexico, was furious that I wrote that. I had seen my email, and he's furious, and he's out in Mexico, and he took a picture of an esrig with a black dot. Here it is, the black dot. And he said, I'm taking this esrig, I'm going to smuggle it into the United States, you're going to come to my house when I come home, and you're going to look at it. Sure, no problem. So here we have the picture of it. I'm so thankful he took a picture of it, because, right, there it is. Because by the time he came to New York, it had disappeared. We unwrapped the esrig together, we took out the esrig, he unwrapped it, remember he had smuggled it in because it was illegal to bring in the fruit without the inspections and everything. He didn't want them to touch it. We unwrapped it. We knew exactly where the black dot was supposed to be because we had a picture of it, and it wasn't there. So it proves my point that black dots are really dirt, and they will come off. Sometimes you have to, it's not worth taking them off because you can damage the esrig, but they're all dirt. So when you see something like this, it looks like a real black dot, it's really dirt. Okay, what does real black dot look? So my son, this is a picture my son took last year in Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael. Here you have black dots. Okay, this is Shemitah. This is, they haven't taken care of the Bardesim. And then you're going to get black dots. Black dots are rot. It's diseases. You can Google this. Citrus black dot. There's a fungus, black dots, which attacks citrus trees. It doesn't look like this. It looks different. It's gross. I could pull up some pictures, but it's disgusting. Now, I don't know if that's what Shulchan Aruch is talking about. I don't know if that's what I'm talking about, because the way Ran words, it doesn't seem like that. He means it's a disease, but these are black dots. This is real black dots. There's also white dots over here. The other thing that they say is possum, but this is on Shemitah, and this will never make it to the market. It doesn't look the same to me. It's a glossier, shinier color. It's not the same. It doesn't look the typical burn color. Burns are like ash. It's matte. This is shinier.
Are the burns, should they be able to be cleaned off a little bit? Or
yeah, but you're not necessarily getting yourself anything better. If you clean it off, you might, but probably chaser to begin with, the burn. It probably is a chaser. And if it, I don't know, I probably wouldn't touch it in a store. Let it be somebody else's problem. I'll say this. Okay, this is the black dot. It doesn't pay for the supplier to pick a fruit. He sees this. They go through the field every day. And any esrig that's not developing properly is a waste of their time and energy. They pick it right away. For every esrig that makes it to the market, another 25 are thrown in the garbage. They weren't worth it. Not only that, after they're picked, after they're harvested, right, so some stores are selling estrogen for $200, some places are selling estrogen for $25. It's not the same product. Somebody at the paradise categorized everything. The A's, the B's, the C's, the triple E, right? They categorized everything and shipped to different places and for different prices. And in the store itself, the guy went through all the estrogen and he checked everything out. Something like this is not worth their time with it. They're getting rid of it. Why should they pay shipping on it? Why should they waste their time or your time showing it to you? Okay, next topic. One of the next topics that's hard to understand is the chaytim. The idea of a chaytim. So where is the chaytim of the asterisk? Where is the chaytim of an asterisk? So Rashi explains the chaytim to be the widest point of the asterisk before it turns towards the narrows towards the top. So that's probably round over here. There's a partial understanding of Rashi. It's one thin line. It could be it's a thicker line. It's the whole top of this piece over here. But the partial understanding of Rashi, it's one thin line, just the point before it turns up. That's the partial shot in Rashi. The Rosh says it means the whole slope, right? The Rosh, the Rif, the Rambam, the Ben Chanan, not the Rambam, the Ben Chananel. Oh, how much?
It's only that.
According to Rashi, the simple reading of Rashi means just this one line.
So it's above it, that's not the Chaitim.
According to Rashi. The Rosh spells it out clearly, that's what he means. That Rashi, like Rashi, it's one line, and according to the other Shayim, it's this, and the Minig Olam, the Rosh says, is the Makbid on both. That's what the Rosh says. And that's not Mechavah Paskin, it's the Makbid on both. There's another sheet that the Sharitzim brings, sheet of the Rambam. The Rambam himself is not clear that it's a different sheet than the Rif. The Rosh says, this is the Rif Nebein Chananom. The reading the Rambam himself, the wording of the Rambam is not so much different than Rabbein Chananel on the Rif, and I wouldn't have said it's a different Shita, but the Sharitzian says it's the second Shita, is the Shita of the Rambam. The Rambam says that it's just the point above where the Esrig ends, where the Pitim starts. This section here, where the Esrig ends, from here up is the Chaitim. That's the Shita of the Rambam. The Sharitzian brings it. Reading the Rambam inside, I'm not sure that that's how it is said, but that's. Sure, we'll leave it at that. Okay? So we have three Shitas. The two main Shitas are, though, is the Shita of the, what the Rosh says, the meaning is to mark it on this line and the whole area over there. Okay. How much more time do we have? How much do I want? Fine, thank you. I'm only about halfway through. Okay. So. Yeah, this goes faster over here than there. Okay, what is a chazazas? So the first thing is, anybody that works in a shrug will tell you he doesn't know what a chazazas is. He's never seen one. I went around Yerushalayim, listened to older Rabbanim, checked the shrug, they don't know what a chazazas is. They've never seen one. They don't see one. Okay, nobody knows what a chazazas is. I'm not guaranteeing it, but I have a hunch that it's the citrus canker. Well, let's see how the Shulchan Aruch defines a chazazis. Chazazis, it's kmoya ababuois. It's like bubbles, not quite bubbles, but it's like bubbles, boils. The yesh by mamish, it's thick, you can feel it. It's nikim amishra shehu gvoy me'asrig. Okay? That's the basic description of a chazazis. The Shulchan Aruch says later, this is in Sifdid Gimel, Yedalit, I think, the Chabbah says, it's possible to peel chazazis off, and there'll still be a green layer underneath it. Okay, let's look at a chazazis. I have a guess that this is what the chazazis is. Does it look like chazazis might be? It's thick, it's bubbly, it's it grows in groups, it covers a shroigim, the martyrs at roiv, miut, there's two shittas. Roiv means either it can spread across the entire roiv of an esrig, or it means that it's small dots of it, but they're scattered over roiv of the esrig, or it's one big piece. The citrus canker goes both ways. You can get dots like this covering all over the esrig, or you can get one huge spot that is. But it always goes in groups. Rashi says chazazis, Rashi translates. How does Rashi translate chazazis? He says it in plural. The Mishnah's word is singular, and Rashi says it in plural. Why did Rashi switch? Because usually chazazis comes together. And the Shmur speaks out, there are Rishayim that hold that you need to have two bubbles to passel, right? He means Rashi. But we don't pass them like that. But that's a standard thing. That chazazis goes, that this thing goes together. It goes as twos. So it's a very good guess. Now, what is chazazis? Chazazis is a fungus. It's a fungus that spreads. How does it spread? It spreads by wind. When the liquid that's in the bubbles leaks out from any reason, because it was hit by something, by a tree, by a thorn, by a leaf, suddenly it hit the bubble, and the juice got out, and the wind or the rain carries that juice, that liquid, to the next fruit. That's how chazazis spreads. So it's babuos are pimples, bubbles that have liquid inside. So these have liquid inside. Oh, Yeah, sure it is. The problem of Chazaz is because it's a menumer. The Mechaber words it that way. The problem of Chazaz is because it's a menumer. The Gemara also says it, but it's clearer in the Mechaber. The problem is it's a Shinemara. But it's not one of the colors that are Shinemara, like black or white. It's a color of Shinemara because it's Stamazah, it's a menumer. Okay, so you heard it here first. I myself only came up with this idea when I started when we're learning the sugyas now. I started researching it again. I figured out it's only a few weeks that I'm even toying with the idea that it's the citrus canker. Citrus canker is a terrible disease that whenever a new place gets it, the federal government quarantines the place. They burn down all the trees. I think within 200 meters of wherever they find it, they have to burn every tree. Like, they take it very serious. Okay. Bletlach. Why did bletlach come next? Because bletlach, according to Ramah, the bletel is a problem that maybe it's a chazazis. Either Ramah is learning that chazazis is more than one thing, and that's why he thinks a bletel is a chazazis, or it's a chash that if there's a bletel, maybe it really is a chazazis. You're not noticing the difference. What causes bletel? Let's go back to our paradise. Here you have some sphragium growing. They're hanging from the trees. You see that all the leaves and all the thorns, everything got cut away from it. Okay. And some, once in a while you get something like this, two sphragma touching each other, the wind's gonna come, they're gonna get banged, they're gonna get back bruised. And like the apple, they get bruised, they get banged. Now any citrus fruit gets bruised like that. And if you go to the cheap places, I don't know if they have Chinese markets here in Psaic, but if you go to the cheap places where they sell the lemons, 20 for a dollar, you know, so they're all gonna be covered in bletlach. And the oranges also. The peeling, the juice oranges, the sunkest come, you know, those come nice and shiny, painted. They're painted, by the way. The juice oranges, they're not trying to show off at anybody, those are covered in bletlach. Okay, so here you have the esrig. So here, there's two esrig here that are touching. So what are they going to do about it? So they have a few solutions. First, that's what it requires. Here's the cause, the bletlach. The bletlach are juice, like a scab. Juice that comes out of the esrig from getting banged, like you get a cut or a prick. The blood comes out, lymph comes out, and you get a scab. So that's what the esrig, that's what a bletlach is. So the solutions are they tie up the trees, or they tie up the individual esrigim, or they, right here again, they're tying an individual esrig. You see how all the leaves and everything, the thorns are all around, they're cut off. You see there are stems over there of something else. It's either an esrig or a thorn was growing there. Over there also you see there's something that was cut away. They cut all those things away to protect them. Or something they can put a foam. Whatever it is, whatever they get their hands on to prevent it from getting a bletel, they used in order to prevent it to get a bletel. Still, many esrig can get bletlach. Here we have one over here someplace with the bletel. Is that it? Right? I'm seeing it backwards, I don't...
Yes.
Over here, right?
Yes.
So that's a bletel. So it's not quite the same color as a chazaz. It's not quite the same thickness. But the chashash is that maybe it's a chazaz. Let's look at the next one. We have like five or six choices. The bletel comes in all different sizes, shapes, and colors. Here you got one another one. How about this? This is more of a bruise than a bletel. They call it a kvetch, or they call it a kites, or something else. It was banged. You got hit by something, and that's why it's discolored. But it's not quite a bletel, but it's almost, they treat it the same. Okay, another one. This is caused by a scratch. Here you get some more bletlach. I think the circling around the air. Okay, but not.
It's not a burn.
It looks different. It's a different color. You don't see it's on. There's like a cream color underneath it. It's on something. The dark color is on something. Now, interesting thing about bletlach. The bletlach come off. Here, when the esrig shrinks, the bletel doesn't. So as the esrig shrinks, as all fruit shrink when they're off the tree for too long, the esrig shrinks, the bletel comes off. Here it's starting to come off, you can see it a little bit closer here. And in the next picture, here is an area, I think it's over here. If I'm right, this is the area here. There had been a bletel and the bletel came off. You can tell there's a mark left that the bletel had been there. It's always over here on the esrig, it's over here. The big picture. It's over here in this one. Okay, so I was once in the store showing a guy that any good time there's a nice looking esrig, the nice shape and color and everything, and I had a bletel on, so they take it to the back room, they play around with it, and they peel off the bletel. So I went to the place in Monty not too long ago, and I'm showing my friend who's with me. I'm showing you, the guy took off this, there was a bottle here, took off, this bottle here, took off. This one he tried taking off, he couldn't take it off, the whole thing, so he left half of it on. And I'm showing him, and the Moicha is laughing, and he told me his brothers knew at this game, his brother just wanted a practice, and his brother came in and was taking off all the blatlach for him. It was a fresh job. But they all take off the blatlach, because blatlach come off and it raises the price of the asterisk. Don't ever try it at home, because guarantee you're going to ruin the asterisk. Not everything you see on an asterisk is a blatl. This is dirt. The way you get rid of this stuff is with a washcloth. No, don't try a washcloth, but a Q-tip, a wet Q-tip will take it off, but who needs it? It's not in your way.
How do they take off blatl?
Depends who's taking it off. Lulav leaves, pins, whatever. The point of a razor, whatever they want. But that's their asterisk, and if they mess up, and it costs them $100. You try it yourself, you make the acid turn brown. Even if you take it off successfully, you make the acid will turn brown. It'll get bruised like an apple. Okay, let's go here. Another shayla now of a nikev. A real nikev that have a hole with a pin that should have a hole all the way through, nikev, nekev, foolish, you don't have that. What you do have is this. On the top of some esrogim, particularly the Yemenite esrogim, the top of it where the pitim should have been, there's a hole. There's a hole. So,
you want it to be.
What?
You want it to be. Like it's a natural.
If there's a hole there, I know it's natural. I guess so. But the Yemenite story can very often have holes on the top over here. So, theoretically, the hole could go down to the Chadre Zera. If the hole goes into the Chadre Zera, it's a Nekam Mefulish, according to Sami Shainim, and it might be possible. People take this serious and they test for it. I don't think it's a problem, because every time we ever cut open an esrog that had this hole, what we saw inside was, Here, first is like this. How do you check if there's something over there? You see that the esrog here, the chaytim on the outside, whichever sheet the chaytim you want, usually equals the top of the chadre zera. Almost always, the chaytim outside equals the chadre zera. So here you have the chadre zera on this side, you have the chaytim on this side. What you need to do is you need to drop a pin into the hole, and if it goes down deep enough that you estimate from, by taking it out and lining up on the outside, that it will hit the chadre zera, then the hole went into the chadre zera. It never goes so deep. But another thing, when we cut up into this again, what we found was that this is what they had always. What is that? That's esrog skin. There was a hole, as if the esrog had an indentation, like a volcano type of top. That's the regular skin, the same skin that's on the outside of the esrog is over here. And you see it doesn't go nearly as far down as the chadre zera. It's regular esrog. If I would just be brave and clear away more of that crusty top, you can see it's regular esrog inside. It can't be. We've never opened up an esrog and found that there's a hole, like worn away or rotten or something, and it was missing and went into the chadre zera. We never had such a case. So personally, I'm not so worried about it that there should be for this testing. But if somebody showed me an esrog, I would test for it. Okay, here we have another esrog where we went inside. There's a hole there, nice little hole. Okay, what do we have now? Oh, so on my last file, my last thing. God will be the first. The soy kamin bay acheris is possible. That's the braisa. Amarava leshanu el kamin bay acheris al kibri yasei. It's kasha. For the Gemara, it's pashit. Of course, it made it kibri yasei. That's the insinuation of the braisa. The Gemara pshita kamin bay acheris tanya lechicha the avid David the dapi dapi. He made the esrog dapi dapi. What does dapi dapi mean? So Rashi explains dapi dapi means he made the esrog. He made the esrog. Kamin krushim krushim boards like in galgal shorichaim shlemayim, like a water wheel of things, and that's called briyasa of an esrog, and that's kosher. If you made it like a water wheel, you made the esrog look like a water wheel. It's kosher. I would have thought that that's not kosher. That's not briyasa. Making a star is not kosher. Let's look at this esrog. You see those lines? Look again. You see how it's like ridges? Indented over there. It's like as if there's It's, I mean, had it been a little bit deeper, those lines, you can imagine being a water wheel, a gear, we'd say. So he did what? He took his esrog, he made it into a mold, sort of looked like a gear, looked something like this, played around with it, made it a little bit sharper, darker, whatever it is, deeper, whatever it is. So that's it. So, but it's similar enough to what a real esrog looks like that he's able to call it a riyase. Thank you for listening. And yeah. If there's any questions, I'll be available. Myers now?
Yeah, well, I'm right now.